chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Look with me, verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded into the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now here's two verses we're going to get tonight. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so that there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased, and ye be burdened, but by an equality, that now this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that hath gathered much had nothing over, and he that hath gathered little had no lack. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into their heart of Titus for you. Lord, we love you tonight. Lord, I ask God that you would help us, Lord, just for the next couple moments. Lord, as we continue, Lord, the principle of grace giving, Lord, found here in your word. Lord, I ask God that you'd help us, Lord, to be obedient to the Bible and to be obedient to you. Lord, as you continue to help us, Lord, and challenge us and dispense, Lord, and bestow the grace that you give us to help us in this area. Lord, we're thankful, Lord, for a church that gives, Lord, to accomplish, Lord, the Great Commission. Lord, whether it be, Lord, through tithes, missions, or offering, Lord, I ask God that you continue to have your hand upon our church. Lord, we love you. In your name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Let me just remind you, and I know a lot of you times people's not able to be in here on Wednesday night for whatever reason, and a lot of people serve in different areas, but we're dealing with this idea of grace giving. Paul's challenging, as we remind you, he's challenging the church at Corinth. They made a promise a year ago that they're going to give. There was saints in Jerusalem that had been persecuted because they believed in Christ. They lost their job. They're scattered, and so they're impoverished. So Paul's going to go around, and he's going to take up a gift offering to help and relieve these saints in Jerusalem. And the church at Corinth promises that they're going to be a part, and they're going to give a great amount to this cause. And so they made this pledge, they made this promise, if you will. So Paul leaves them, he goes to different churches in Macedonia, and we find one church, I believe it's the church of Philippi, I don't know it to be true, but just based on the churches of Macedonia, we find this church that's impoverished, they're in great affliction, but yet they find out that the church at Corinth is going to be giving, and they find out the cause at the saints of Jerusalem. So this impoverished, poor people who don't even really have a job, don't really have a lot to give, they literally beg Paul, saying, hey, we want to give. And Paul says they gave not as we hope, or they didn't give as we expected, but man, they went above and beyond. And so he's challenging now the church at Corinth. He's telling them of what these churches of Macedonia are doing, and he's going to remind them and begin this dialogue, if you will, of this New Testament principle of giving. Let me remind you, I give you these, most of you already have them, but I reminded you that number one, giving or grace giving necessitates the grace of God. He tells us verse number one, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. Paul says this, that they gave because of the grace of God that was given to them. And he's trying to tell them, and I'll remind you tonight, that grace giving, you can't be a grace giver without the grace of God. Number two, we found out that grace giving is despite our circumstances. We understood that the churches in Macedonia were impoverished, they were poor. Verse 2 says that they were a great trial of affliction, but yet it was God's will that they gave anyway. And grace giving is despite our circumstances. We learned that number three, grace givers have a get-to attitude, not a have-to attitude. Verse 4 tells us that those churches of Macedonia, the impoverished churches, said praying us or asking us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. They begged Paul to take the gift from them. Number four, we understand that grace givers, that they are investing in eternity. Verse number four says, and take upon us the fellowship or partnering of the ministering to the saints. We understand this, that they wanted to get in on giving to those impoverished saints at Jerusalem. They understood that they were investing in eternity. They understood they may never meet them, but they were helping their brothers and sisters in Christ. And I want to remind you tonight that when you give through your local church, that you are investing in eternity. Number five, we understand that grace givers give God full access to their life. Verse number five, and this they did, not as we hoped, not as we expected, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. Grace givers, when it comes to this thing of giving, they've given their whole self to God. And I reminded you that God isn't so much concerned with your money as He is with you. God wants all of you, not just a little bit of you, but He wants all of you. And when we give God our whole self, we don't have a problem when it comes to giving of our substance. And then also, we saw number six, that grace givers do not substitute one cause of giving for another. Verse number five, he said, and this they did, not as we hope or expected, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. And then he says, and unto us. Paul is telling us that they continued to support Paul in his ministry, and they also gave to the saints at Jerusalem. They didn't swap one giving for another. They didn't exchange and said, well, Paul, we're going to put you on hold. We're going to give to the saints at Jerusalem. No, they said, we're just going to keep on giving. And can I remind you tonight that your tithe is not your missions, and your missions is not your tithe. Your offering's not your tithe. There's tithes, there's missions, and then there's offering. We ought not substitute one for the other. And then we found number seven, that grace givers understand that giving is God's will, not a man-made idea. Verse number five, the very end, he says, unto us, how? By the will of God. Giving is part of God's will. Supporting the local church is God's idea, not man's idea. And then we found that number eight, grace givers hold giving to high importance. You look with me in verse number six. He says, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you in the same grace also. Verse seven, he says, therefore ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, and your love to us. He says, see that ye abound in this grace also. Paul said, you're doing very well in all these other places. Your faith is good. Your love is good. You're growing in knowledge of the Word of God. Everything is good, he says, but you need to abound in grace giving as well. And so grace givers hold this to high importance. And then number nine, grace givers are motivated by love, not by manipulation. He says in verse 8, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others to prove the sincerity of your love. Verse number 24 says, wherefore show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. It is not anybody's job to manipulate people to give, not to twist their arm to give. It's not the preacher's job to try to guilt trip people into giving. God's not interested in your obligated money. If you're going to give, it ought to be motivated by what Jesus Christ has done for us. In fact, we see that in verse number 9. He says, "For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Listen, I don't give because I guilt tripped. I give because Jesus gave his life for me, and it's the least I can do to give out of my substance. And so our giving must be motivated by our love for the Lord. It's proof of our love for Christ, not by manipulation, not by guilt trip, and not by duty. And then I want to give you two more tonight. I want you to add to this list as we continue. Paul's going to continue the thought of giving. Write these down. A grace giver follows through on their commitment. Pretty simple, right? Grace givers follow through on their commitment. Problem was, church at Corinth, they made a commitment, they ain't followed through on it. I want to ask y'all a question. How many times we make commitments to the Lord, make promises to God that we don't follow through on? Happens all the time. They made a promise a year ago that they were going to give. Problem was, they ain't followed through on their commitment. Look at what he says in verse 10. "And herein I give my advice. For this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago." Verse 11. He says, "Now, therefore, perform the doing of it." Paul says, you started this commitment a year ago. Now, he says, it's time to perform what you promised you were going to perform. Many times we commit to do something only to never follow through with it. We make financial decisions only to never follow through with that commitment. And can I encourage you tonight, as Paul says, I'm going to give you my advice. Can I give you my advice, which is Paul's advice, which is the Holy Spirit's advice? And it's this. It's that if God's been dealing with you about giving and you've committed to give, God stirred your heart through the messages of giving, God says, this is what I want you to do. Here's my advice, which is Paul's advice, which is the Holy Spirit's advice. Follow through with your commitment. Follow through with it. Don't just say, well, that was a good message, and yeah, maybe I should, and God, yeah, I know you told me this, but you leave the doors never to actually follow through with your commitment. Paul said, it's been a year, church at Corinth. He said, it's time to perform it. Time to get in on it. Time to cash that check that you wrote a year ago. Can I encourage you, though, it's better not to make a promise that you can't follow through on, to make a promise and not give. In fact, James 5 says this, "Let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest you fall into condemnation." And so here's what I'm challenging you tonight, church. Principle number 10 when it comes to grace giving. If God stirred your heart, you made a promise, you made a commitment, just as Paul said, it's time to perform it. Can I tell you, it's time to get in on it. It's time to follow through. Can I ask you a question? Am I giving you anything the Bible ain't said so far? It's all there, right? He says, time to perform it. It's time to get in on it. If you've made a commitment and a promise to the Lord when it comes to your giving, follow through. We're living in a day and age of Christians who don't follow through on what they've promised. We're living in times where we say a lot of things, don't we? We profess a lot of things, don't we? But when it comes time for the rubber to meet the road, we don't follow through. Grace givers follow through on their commitment. Let me give you this last one for tonight, number 11. Grace givers give within their means. Now, I'm probably going to get to tell you, and I need to preface all this stuff, I'm probably going to contradict a lot of preachers. In fact, before I study this, I probably would question this, but you know what? We need to let the Bible make up our mind, right? My mind don't make up the Bible. The Bible makes up my mind. And so this has changed, this has altered when it comes to giving. And don't get me wrong, there's times that God will give through you, and God's going to help you, and it's wonderful. He's going to remind you that he's giving through you. But there's a lot of pastors, a lot of teachers, a lot of churches today that they manipulate from the pulpit. They twist and they really challenge you to give outside of your means. And can I tell you, it's not biblical. It's not. I'm going to prove it to you. Look at what Paul says. Verse 11 says, "Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have." Verse 12. "For if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened." That phrase in verse number 11, the readiness to will, and then in verse number 12 he says a willing mind, it means your will to give. God stirred your heart, this is what you're willing to do. But also, look at what he says. He says in verse 11, a performance also out of that which ye have. You know what Paul's saying? Your will and your wealth need to match. Don't make some big commitment that your budget can't handle. Y'all with me tonight? Let me just break it down as my old drill sergeant used to say. Let me break it down Big Bird style for you. Don't throw your mortgage payment in the offering plate and then come and say, "Well, preacher, I put my mortgage in there and my bill's due. I thought God was going to supply." That's not what Paul says. He says, you need to give within your means. He says, listen, you got readiness of mind, your willing mind. He says, give out of what ye have. And can we just be honest? I'm telling you, how many times have we hold, or we've been taught, we've been heard preach, well, you ought to give, and God's going to send. Man, and listen, don't get me wrong, God's going to supply the need, but listen, God has given us a brain. God's given us a mind to use. So don't be making these big empty promises and putting in money that you don't have to give. And here's what I know. We live in one of the richest countries in the world. This is what it looks like. And this is what I've heard and I hear it. They say, well, you know, give in this big old chunk of money and God's going to meet your need. God's going to give it back to you. Y'all, just to be honest with you, I don't find that in the Bible. And if I do, I'll come up here and apologize. But from what I'm reading here, when it comes to this idea of giving, Paul says, be a performance also out of that which you have. He says, verse 12, "For there first be a willing mind is accepted according to that a man hath, and not that he hath not." Verse 13, he says, "For I mean not that other men be eased and you be burdened." He says, don't give to the cause to where you're now poor and you can't pay your bills. Don't ease them and burden yourself. Y'all reading this with me? What he's saying, grace givers give within their means. They listen, every single one of us, there's all different types of income levels. And can I just call time out and say this? If you make more money than the next person, doesn't mean you're any more important than anybody else. Has nothing to do with anything. But we give within our means. If somebody that has a great income gives the what God tells them to give, and somebody with little income, God gives what they give, what God wants them to give, praise the Lord. You give within your means. Paul, don't go bankrupt here. Don't be putting your grocery bill in the offering plate thinking that that God's going to supply the grocery bill. God, Paul says you need to use your brain when it comes to this. And probably, and I'm using my sanctified imagination, and so you take this for what it is. I can't prove it, but it sounds like the church at Corinth promised a lot more than what they could give. It says, y'all had a big old commitment a year ago, and now you're having trouble cashing in on what you promised. It sounds like they probably made a big promise. And Paul said, don't do that. Give within your means. Your will and your wealth need to match. Listen, don't make a promise or commitment that isn't backed up by your budget. Here's what this looks like, church. I'll say this, I'll be done. This ain't a big mystical spiritual experiment. You know what it looks like? You sit down, you have a budget. If you don't have a budget, you should have a budget. You sit down, you have a budget. Most of the time, as Americans, we have more money than necessary bills. Did you hear the word necessary? Necessary bills. Most of the time, we got more money left over at the end of the month. Guess what? That's money that it was within your means to give. And there are also times that we can afford to give up something. Y'all with me? Little trip to Starbucks, some just unnecessary things. Because listen, y'all, let's be honest. We live in America. Most of us, we're rich. I'm telling you, we're rich. According to statistics in the world population, every single person in here is rich. I promise you. And so what does that look like? We look at our budget. We look at all the money that God has blessed us with. And we may have to give up something. We may not. We may want to. We pray about it. God tells us the amount within the means and we give. It's not some mystical, superstitious thing. But how many times have you heard men say, well, you need to give what you don't have and God's going to pay it back to you. And, you know, I'm just telling you, y'all, the more I read the Bible, I don't find that at all. And here's what I do find. You get a bunch of people who are in debt and they heard a preacher say, well, just commit this amount and put in this amount here or do this here. And then they're struggling to make ends meet because they're living their life based on a promise from a preacher. When really, y'all, he says, listen, you need to give within your means. Give within your means. Give what you can give. And here's what I know. If everybody says, God, what would you have? God, you know what you blessed me with my income. Lord, you know my budget. All right? What would you like me to give? I promise you this. I could be wrong, but I don't believe God's going to go against his word. He's not going to ask you to give outside of your means. Y'all with me tonight? And here's the thing. If everybody does what God wants them to do, you'll be the one to stand and give an account to the Lord. Ain't nobody else going to stand and give an account on your behalf. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we love you tonight. Lord, I ask God that you continue to help us, Lord, in this area of grace giving. Lord, would you stir our heart? Lord, I ask God that you'd help us, Lord, to be obedient to your word. Lord, I ask God that you help us to follow through, Lord, on our commitment to give. Lord, I ask God that you'd help us, Lord, to give within our means. Lord, and I know this, God, that you are God, and Lord, you own the cattle of 1,000 hills and the hills that they stand on. But Lord, you've given us a mind, you've given us a brain, you've given us a will and an understanding. Lord, I ask God that you'd help us. Lord, I know, God, that sometimes we have to undo bad theology. Lord, I ask God that you'd help us, Lord, to be committed. Lord, help us to give within our means. Lord, we are rich people. Lord, you've blessed us, Lord, tremendously. And Lord, I ask God that you'd stir our heart. Lord, we know, God, that you are rich. You became poor, Lord, so that we could become rich. Lord, help us to give, Lord, accordingly. Lord, to your word. Lord, we love you tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. Miss Lisa,